Turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And with the help of the Lord, I'm going to read 5 verses of Scripture here in the 8th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Let's bow our heads, shall we, for a word of prayer. Father, I love you today. I thank you for my friend, Pastor Ben Turner, and the wonderful people of the Anchor Baptist Church. Lord, I pray now for the next few moments that you knit our hearts together around these few truths from the first 5 verses of Scripture here of the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Lord, help us to not only be hearers today, but doers of your word, especially when it comes to this matter of giving by faith so that others could hear the gospel. Help me, I pray. I'm nothing without thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With the help of the Lord tonight, I want to preach on this thought, a working faith that finances the work of God. Now, before we go any further in the message, let's take a few moments in order that we might consider the context of the Apostle Paul writing the verses of Scripture before us. When you study the Word of God, you'll discover that after waiting a full year for the Corinthian believers to fulfill a promise regarding a special offering for the saints at Jerusalem, Paul is writing the chapter before us in order to persuade the Corinthian believers to do what they had promised earlier in the year they were going to do. Well, in an effort to be effective in doing so, Paul begins to use the churches of Macedonia as an example of giving by faith for the sake of others. And when you study about those churches of Macedonia, you'll discover that Paul is ultimately speaking about the church of Philippi, the church of Thessalonica, as well as the church of Berea. It was those Macedonian churches that ultimately had participated in the same offering as a result of the report they had initially received from Paul concerning the church of Corinth's promise to give. Now, we know that to be the case because we've not only taken the time to study the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, but we've also studied 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. It was in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse 2 that Paul said this to the Corinthians: "Your zeal," speaking of course of the Corinthians' zeal, "hath provoked very many." That is to say, as a result of the Corinthians' promise to give, the Macedonian believers were persuaded to give as well. However, when you study the Word of God, you'll discover there was a vast difference between the Corinthians' giving and the Macedonians' giving. The Corinthians' promise to give turned into procrastination, but the Macedonians' promise to give turned into performance. That's why Paul is using these Macedonian churches as an example of giving by faith for the sake of others here in the text before us. The Corinthians delayed when it came to this matter of giving, while the Macedonians dedicated themselves in the work of God by giving so that others could hear the gospel. And so the Bible is abundantly clear God would work through the Macedonian church's giving in order to finance the great work that God desired to accomplish through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. So that truth assures us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, there is a reason that God has forever preserved these verses of Scripture here in our King James Bibles today. I submit to you, after all these years, God still has a plan to finance the great work of reaching a lost and dying world with the gospel. And I believe with all of my heart tonight, that plan is clearly revealed in the same truths that Paul is conveying here in the text before us concerning the Macedonian church's giving. Why, you don't think for one instant that God would have commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature without a plan to finance that great work, do you? I submit to you, absolutely not. God does have a plan. God does have a plan to finance the work of world evangelism. And since that plan includes me, you, and in fact, all of the church of the living God today, I believe it would certainly behoove each of us who are a part of that church to consider God's plan for the work of world evangelism. How's God going to finance that great work of God? Well, the answer can be found here in the Bible. However, first things first. When you study the Word of God, you'll discover that God in His Word primarily speaks of three different types of giving. First and foremost, God speaks of the tithe. Now, this isn't a tithing message, but let me just take a few moments and tell you what the Bible teaches in a nutshell about the tithe. The word tithe simply means tenth and speaks of a tenth of one's increase that God has ordained to be given from each and every one of His children in order that the financial needs of the local Bible-believing church be met. Just as God has a plan to finance the great work of reaching the world with the gospel, God also has a plan to finance His local church. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is through and by the tithes of the people that make that local church up. Now, the Bible is very clear when it comes to the tithe. The tithe should always be the starting point of all of our giving. Now, it should never be the stopping point, but it should always be the starting point of all of our giving. I like to say it like this often. The tithe isn't the ceiling we stop at. The tithe is merely the floor that we stand upon. It should be the starting point of all of our giving. I like to say that Abraham commenced it. By the way, Abraham tithed before there even was a law. So don't try to convince me that tithing was something that was only done under the law. No, Abraham tithed before there even was a law. So Abraham commenced it. Jacob continued it. Moses commanded it. Jesus, in the New Testament of the Bible, commended it. And therefore, who in the world am I to cancel it? The Bible says in Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30, the tithe is the Lord's and it is holy unto Him. Now think about that. The tithe is the Lord's. And therefore, since the tithe is the Lord's, we really haven't even started giving until we have given over and above what already belongs to the Lord. Hear me and I'm moving. I am fully convinced, absolutely convinced, that every financial need of the local church would be met and exceeded if God's people would simply follow God's plan and give God what already belongs to Him. That is exactly why God, through the pen of the Old Testament prophet Malachi, said in Malachi chapter 3, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Hear me today. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 is just one portion out of the Bible, out of many portions from the Bible, that assures me, listen, it's not a burden to tithe. Brother, it's a blessing to tithe. Tithing doesn't produce poverty. Tithing assures me of God's plenty. It is a matter of believing God, of taking God at His word. I have never met a spiritual Christian that wasn't a scriptural tither. And so the Bible speaks of the tithe, the starting point of all of our giving. Secondly, the Bible speaks of sacrificial giving or voluntary offerings. Now, this type of giving is above and beyond God's tithe. For instance, the children of Israel gave of their own treasure when it came to the erection of the tabernacle in the wilderness. That is a wonderful example of sacrificial giving in order that the work of God might move forward for the cause of Christ. And opportunities always abound within the confines of the ministry of the local church for God's people to participate in sacrificial giving or voluntary offerings. There are always buildings that need to be built, special offerings for special projects, and maybe special people that the pastor has the Lord as the Lord leads him to receive a special offering for a special family or a special person for a special project. Well, that would be a great example of giving voluntarily over and above your tithes to be a blessing to an individual, a special project through your local church. But then, listen now. There is what I believe is the most blessed giving of all giving, and that is giving by faith for the sake of others. And friends, the more I read and study my Bible, the more I am absolutely convinced that God intended for the world to be evangelized by this type of giving. Some people call it grace giving, and it is grace giving. I personally prefer the term faith promise giving because I think the term more adequately describes what Paul is writing about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and not only 2 Corinthians chapter 8, but in the preceding chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. I submit to you that just as God has a plan to finance His local church, God has a plan to finance the great work of world evangelism, and that is by giving by faith over and above our regular tithes and offerings so that others could hear the gospel. And therefore, let's zero in, shall we, on these first five verses of Scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. First of all, notice number one, the problems the Macedonians' faith had to overcome. The problems their faith had to overcome. Can I say this? And we'll zero in on the text. There will always be problems our faith we'll have to overcome if we're going to give regularly, systematically, and faithfully over and above our regular tithes and offerings so that others could hear the gospel. Listen, if you're waiting until you make the final car payment, chances are you will never know the joy of giving so that others could hear the gospel. If you're waiting until you make the final house payment or until you pay the last doctor bill off, then chances are you will never know the joy of giving by faith in order that others could be reached with the gospel. There will always be faith, there will always be problems, rather, that our faith will have to overcome. Do you see the problem here in the text? The problems, rather, the Macedonians had to overcome so that they could give, so that others could hear the gospel. First of all, they gave in spite of great affliction. Do you see it in verse 2? Brother, these churches knew what it was like to suffer for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes of their suffering often. He refers to the Thessalonians' suffering in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 when he wrote of the church, "For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." He also referred to the Thessalonians' suffering in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 as well as 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Listen to me tonight. They knew what it was like to suffer for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. They gave in spite of great affliction. They not only gave in spite of great affliction, but according to the text before us, they gave in spite of deep poverty. Do you see it right here in verse number 2? Deep poverty. Please understand, they were not giving so that others could be reached with the gospel out of abundance. They were not giving, ladies and gentlemen, because they could afford to give. No, they were living in extreme poverty. But what should have resulted in keeping resulted in giving. Oh, think about that. It could have been so easy for the Macedonian churches to get their eyes only upon themselves and their own circumstances. But in spite of the affliction, in spite of deep poverty, their heart was still towards God and others. Do you want to know why? Let me tell you why. Because when they put their treasure, when they invested their treasure in reaching others with the gospel that had changed their lives, their heart followed. And isn't that exactly what Jesus said would happen in Matthew chapter number 6? There in that chapter, the Lord Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Their heart was in missions. The Macedonians' hearts. Oh, their heart was in soul winning. Their heart was in church planting. Do you know why? Because they put their treasure there, and when they put their treasure there, their heart followed. And because their heart was in reaching others with the gospel, they learned the joy of giving in spite of some things. They gave in spite of deep poverty. They gave in spite of great affliction. There will always be problems. Our faith will have to overcome if God's going to give through us to reach the world with the gospel. So we see, number one, the problems their faith had to overcome. Secondly, notice the pattern of their faith. We see the pattern of their faith in verse number 3. Where Paul writes, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." Now let me hasten to ask you, do you see the twofold pattern of the Macedonian church's giving? It's right here in the text. It's right here in the Bible. First of all, they started giving to their power. Now let me tell you what I believe that means. When the Bible says that the Macedonians gave to their power, giving starts where? Giving starts with the tithe. And so I believe they gave their tithe. That's giving to your power. And God expects us as His family, as His children, to be faithful in giving of our tithes. And it's 10% across the board. Now, Cassie and I give more than that, but that's the starting point. And the Bible has clearly established that. That's giving to your power. Giving starts with the tithe. Then I'll tell you what I believe that means. I believe the Macedonian churches sat down and they wanted to do more to reach the world with the gospel. I mean, after all, they had experienced a life-changing blessing when they trusted Christ as their Savior, having heard the gospel, and they wanted to know that others would experience what they themselves had experienced by turning from their sin to the Savior. And so I believe they wanted to do more, so they sat down, and I believe they figured what they could afford to give. And I'm so thankful that God put those first four words of verse number 3 in our Bibles. For to their power. The Bible doesn't give us a specific amount of our income to give so that others could hear the gospel. But it does teach us to start giving to our power. So after you've given your tithe through your local Bible-believing church, as the Bible clearly teaches, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to figure out what I can afford to give to missions. Now, listen, don't you think you could afford to give the cost of a soft drink? What does a Coca-Cola cost today? About $2? Most cases more than that, but let's just figure $2. Is it worth you? Is it worth it to you to keep a soul out of hell by giving $2 a month? That's giving to our power. If you can't give $2 a day, could you give $1 a day? $30 a month. That's giving to our power. But wait a minute. Once those Macedonians started giving, in spite of deep poverty and great affliction, somebody tell me what followed. When they put their treasure there, just like Jesus said, their heart followed. And so they wanted to do more. But there's only one problem with that. It doesn't add up on paper. I mean, again, verse 2, they're living in deep poverty. So I believe they went to the Lord in prayer. And they said something like this, Lord, you've been so good to us. And you've saved us by your grace. And Lord, you put a desire in each of our hearts to reach others with the same gospel that we have been reached with. But Lord, there's a problem here. We're living in deep poverty and we've given all that we could afford to give, what adds up on paper, but we want to do more. So Lord, what we're going to do here is we're going to take a step of faith. And we're going to trust you to give through us, to give what you would have never given to us to keep. And boy, when they took that step of faith, God worked a miracle. God started allowing these Macedonians to start giving beyond their power. Do you see it in verse 3? For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. I've been preaching lately out of the book of 1 Kings chapter number 17, and I've entitled the message, The Blessing at the Bottom of the Barrel. Do you remember the story there in 1 Kings 17? Elijah comes to the gate of the city. There's a famine going on. He's coming from the brook Cherith where God had fed him with the ravens, bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. However, because of the famine, the waters of the brook Cherith began to dry up and God changed his plans. God sent him to a little town called Zarephath, a town of the Mediterranean coast between Tyre and Sidon. And God told Elijah that he had commanded a widow woman to sustain him there. So Elijah comes to the gate of the city. He calls to the woman and he says, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now that's pretty big demand. I mean, after all, there's a famine going on. And as the woman turns to go and get the water, he calls to her again and says, "Bring me a morsel of bread in thine hand as well." Do you remember the widow woman's response? She turns to the man of God and she says, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not in cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel. And I've got a little oil in a cruse, and I'm out here gathering two sticks for me and my son that we may eat it and die." You remember what Elijah said? "Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail." And I want to tell you, God was as good as His word. That woman experienced the blessing of giving, not from the top of the barrel, as so many of us choose to give today, but she knew the joy of giving from the bottom of it. And I'll tell you why. Because every day that she gave, God would put more meal in that barrel. Every time she poured out oil, God would put more oil in that cruse. God enabled that little woman in 1 Kings chapter 17 to give beyond her own power because she had learned the joy of giving by faith. The pattern of their giving. They gave to their power, but they gave beyond their power as God gave through them. Oh, what a blessing. The pattern of their faith. And number three, notice the partnership of their faith. You and I can see the partnership of their faith in verse number 4. Well, the Bible says, "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." Verse 4 teaches us that these churches literally pleaded with Paul. Isn't that what Paul said in verse 4? "Praying us with much entreaty." They literally pleaded. They begged Paul to take their offering. I can see it right now. The Macedonians trying to give to the church planting ministry, the soul winning ministry of the Apostle Paul, and Paul saying, "Now churches, listen, you've been so good to me. I know you're living in deep poverty. I know you're suffering great affliction. No, I'm not going to receive your offering." Do you remember what Paul said to the church of Philippi, which, by the way, is one of these Macedonian churches? In his epistle to the Philippian believers, Paul said this to the church, "You sent once and again unto my necessity." So these Macedonian churches, brother, they had given time and time and time again. And here they are in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and they want to give again. And Paul says, "No, absolutely not. You've already given time and time again. You've already given above and beyond. Nope, I'm not taking any more offerings from you Macedonians. No, no, no more." And they begged Paul, "Praying us with much entreaty." "Paul, please don't rob us of the privilege, of the blessing, of giving so that others could be saved by the same gospel that we were blessed to hear that caused us to turn from our sin to the Savior." That's why we are able to see the partnership of their faith here in the text. I like what Paul said in the latter portion of verse 4, "and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." And what did Paul say to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers of whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth planteth and he that watereth are, listen, one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Praise God for a church that realizes it's not just that the missionaries need you. Now, please don't misunderstand. The missionaries need you. They can't get to the field without your prayers and without your financial support. But wait a minute. Has God called you to reach the world with the gospel? He certainly has. So the only way that we can be faithful in doing that is by having a part in the ministry of missionaries around the world that are winning souls, planting churches, and preaching the gospel. So see, Anchor Baptist Church, it's not just that the missionaries need you. You need the missionaries. It really is, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we are laborers together. God designed it to be that way. The partnership of their faith. And finally, if you look in verse number 5, you'll see the priority of their faith. Look at verse 5 with me. And this they did, not as we hoped, which simply means the church's giving far exceeded what Paul could have ever hoped for. But first, do you see the word first in verse 5? That word first speaks of priority. But first, watch your Bible now, gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Do you know what that means? That means that the Macedonian churches, as they gave in spite of great affliction, as they gave in spite of deep poverty, they put an offering in the offering plate, but not first, at least as far as a financial offering was concerned. It could have been that they may have put a faith promise commitment card in the offering plate, but not first. You know the first thing they put in the offering plate? The first thing they put in the offering plate, according to verse number 5, was themselves. And may I say to Anchor Baptist Church today, if you and I would be willing to put ourselves in the offering plate, then every other offering, whether it be tithes, whether it be missions offering, voluntary, sacrificial offering, every other offering will go in the plate as well. I guarantee you. But it all starts by putting ourselves in the plate. Could it be that some of you that are watching this video today have never put a faith promise commitment card in the offering plate because you've never put yourself in the offering plate? My prayer today is that God will enable us to open our eyes of faith in order that we may see the priority of the Macedonians' faith.